The Sunday Business Show
with Gas Networks Ireland. Clean, reliable and always available 24 hours a day. More at gasnetworks.ie/gasforbusiness.
Today FM.
For those of you who know your martial arts, a dojo is the name given to the classroom where you practice. However, there aren't any deadly moves in a coder dojo, as the most likely injury is to your wrist as you learn how to program. Founded in Cork, only in 2011, Coda Jodo is now a worldwide phenomenon. I was going to say it's 62 countries, but I think it's now 75 countries. It's quite incredible. And Justina Mizzoni of Coda Dojo is joining me in studio because she, or Coda Dojo, has won $100,000. And I'm also joined by another man who's won $100,000, who's Niall Dennehy, co-founder of Aidtech, an online way of transferring aid monies securely. Both of you, first of all, welcome to the Sunday Business Show. Secondly, show us the money. $100,000. That's nice.
It is nice. Yes, absolutely.
Why did Coda Dojo win $100,000?
So we applied for the grant through the Dubai Expo 2020 event, which is happening in 2020. And they are giving out a number of grants to different organizations that were tied into the themes of this big world expo. So we applied, we were shortlisted, and I was then flown to Dubai to go and actually present it, which I did. And we won, which was brilliant. So
flown to Dubai. I bet you were in the front of the aircraft, yeah, weren't you?
I wish.
And what are you going to do with $100,000?
So I work for the Coda Dojo Foundation, and our whole purpose is to support and scale the global Coda Dojo movement. So we are putting the grant towards a lot of localization of different resources to translate the tools that we have into different languages so we can continue to scale Coda Dojo into different parts of the world.
You better tell the world what Coda Dojo does.
Yeah, absolutely. So Coda Dojo is a global movement of free programming clubs for young people between the ages of 7 and 17.
Founded in Ireland.
It was. It was Cork
Bill
founded.
Liao and
James Welton. Absolutely. So it was founded in Ireland 6 years ago, and it is based on an open source model. So anyone in the world can start a dojo once they agree to the Coda Dojo Charter, which says that you cannot charge. You have to encourage peer mentoring, youth mentoring, and different aspects like that. And it is scaled exponentially. And we now
it
have,
really has.
It has. We've more than 1,350 dojos in 75 countries now. Yeah. The most recent country, Thailand, was one of the more recent ones.
Fantastic. Now, Niall, I better talk to you as well because we could talk to Coda Dojo all day. Aid technology.
Aidtech, yeah.
Yeah.
And Conal, great to be on the show. Number one business show in the country, if I do say so myself. And I've seen Bobby Kerr outside, so no offense, Bobby. But great to be on. So Aidtech, what we're doing, Conal, is we're changing the world one step at a time, and we're using blockchain technology to do that. And the people in Dubai share the same vision that we do, and they want to become the blockchain capital of the world by the year 2020, and our technology is helping them to do that right now.
And what do you
do? So what do we do, Conal, is we deliver digital entitlements completely transparently using a technology called blockchain. So what we were put on the map for, Conal, back in the day was we did a groundbreaking project in Lebanon in 2015. And what we did there was we distributed international aid, and about $4.4 trillion worth of aid goes missing each year, a huge amount.
Wow.
But we created a technology that made sure that you
missing.
Can deliver aid completely. It goes missing. So there is a report out there from Global Financial
Intelligence. I'm sure it ends up somewhere.
It does. It ends up in the pockets of people that it sometimes shouldn't. But we did a project there and we proved that we could bring transparency to the delivery of aid. We've since moved on from that and we're now delivering entitlements like welfare, so welfare remittances, social welfare and donations completely transparently using our technology.
Well, talk me through it. Tell me how it works.
Yes, what it does, Conal, the basis to it is something that we call a digital identity. So to give you a bit of background, there are 2.4 billion people in the world today living without a legal identity. One of our partners, who is the United Nations, they have set a target by the year 2030. Everybody in the world will have a legal identity. So we're helping them achieve that, and we're helping them achieve their targets 13 years quicker. But the thing is with this digital identity, what you can do is with the digital identity that we've created, you can send a digital entitlement to anybody, anywhere in the world without restrictions. So for example, if I want to send welfare to an individual, and as we know, even in this country and with donations, a lot of that money goes missing. But with our technology, we can ensure that the right person receives the right product at the right time. And the people then who really saw the vision are Expo 2020 in Dubai. And what we are going to be doing there with the help of them is rolling out a project on the ground ground in Jordan, where to start with, 10,000 Jordanian people will receive welfare completely transparently using cutting-edge technology. And at the moment, it's a completely paper-based process, and the transparency would be lacking.
There is a business in this, though. So
there
therefore,
is. So, yeah.
How do you make your money?
So, Conal, we're a for-profit, but we're driven by a social mission. And what we do is we charge a fee per month per digital identity. But the key thing with our business is we do not charge the people using the technology. What we do is instead we charge the governments who pay for these projects. So, for example...
So the government of Ireland is trying to transfer monies to, say, Jordan, because you mentioned Jordan, and they will pay you...
They would pay us a fee, Conal, per user, per month. So you've got a lot of people on the show before, they talk about a SaaS-based business model, which is software as a service. And that's essentially what we're doing. And depending on the entitlement then, that could be welfare, that could be aid, that could be a donation. We would take a small transaction fee, depending on what that entitlement is. But we guarantee that it reaches the right person.
I'm a nosy booker. How much do you charge?
We charge, it really depends on the situation, Conal, but usually it's around $1 per month, and it really depends on the situation.
Yeah.
But it's great value for the people who end up using it. If you think about the amount of money that does go missing, and if you can bring transparency to that, and the infrastructure that we can put in place is very lightweight, it can complement what's there already. It's a really effective and efficient solution.
And when you won your $100,000, one, what are you going to do with it? And two, did they say to you, we are giving you $100,000 because we think you are?
They did. And I've got to give a massive shout out to the man who, I wouldn't be here without him. It's my co-founder, Joe. So Joseph Thompson from Dublin, a bit like Justina.
Who's abroad or something, is he? He wanted to be here.
He really wanted to be here. But Joe right now is in Washington, D.C. at the moment. A lot of the people that we deal with are over there. And Conal, we just got nominated for a massive award in the U.S. with the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and they're giving us another $35,000 to roll out a project in the developing world, hopefully $150,000, all going well. But without Joe going to Dubai and doing all the hard work, I wouldn't be sitting here, and he is the driving force behind ATEC, and he is the reason that we're here. But essentially, what we're going to do is we put together milestones beforehand, and we have given a plan to the government of Dubai that's been shared with people in Jordan, the United Nations, who are going to help us on the ground over there. And we will roll that out according to the milestones that we've put in place. And that is why they have given us the funding.
Okay, well, it all sounds very positive. Justina, one day, Coda Dojo will be redundant. Now, you're going to look at me and say, what is he on about? One day, our clever clogs in the Department of Education will make it just a mandatory subject to be coding.
So we would disagree, and we think that even if coding and computer science or computational thinking, however you want to call it, goes onto the curriculum of every single country in the world tomorrow, there is still a place for Coder Dojo, because what Coder Dojo provides is an outside school, informal, fun way of learning with peers. So it's a club-based environment. You might learn football in PE during school, but if you have a real interest in football, you're going to go join your local football club. And we view coding as the exact same, and Coder Dojo is the exact same.
Would it be unfair to say, to characterise the people who would go to a Coder Dojo as being the nerdy types?
I think traditionally or historically that was maybe the way it is, but absolutely not now. You see kids going to Coder Dojo coming from their GAA practice, and they're going to their local dojo afterwards. It is a real mix of children that attend, and I think that's one of the exceptional things about Coder Dojo. It is giving the opportunity to learn how to code and create to children who maybe stereotypically wouldn't have thought they were interested in, or their parents wouldn't have thought they would be interested in. So there is, it's a real mix.
Where does the spark come from? Is it that mum and dad do say this is a great idea, or do the kids come from themselves, the peer chat?
Yeah, so we actually just did our first global ninja survey. So we called the kids who attend the dojos ninjas. And one of the questions we asked was, you know, why did you join your dojo? So parents are one of the biggest influencers on their children, obviously. And particularly among the younger children, so kids that are 7, 8, 9, 10, it's the parents typically who suggest that they go. For other children, they just have a real interest in gaming or video games. And they kind of think to themselves, I want to build my own game, or I want to create that. So that's how they go. For a very small proportion, it was a teacher. About 5% of kids, a teacher or someone like that, suggested that maybe they should go join because they picked up that they might have an aptitude for it.
And the people of 7 years old, how much can they actually do?
Actually quite a lot. Yeah, so typically...
You feel very inadequate.
I feel inadequate all the time. So... Typically, kids as young as 6, 7 are learning. They most often start with the software called Scratch, which was developed by MIT over in Boston. And it's a little cat, and you program this cat to move across the screen or do games or anything. And they're learning, it's a visual programming language. So they're learning the concepts of coding. So if, then, and different stuff like that. And then they can go, we have some kids in Coder Dojo that are developing really advanced stuff. So absolutely.
Niall, tell me that you went to Coder Dojo.
I wish I did. I wish it had been around in my time.
Have you any technology knowledge yourself?
I do, Conal. I went to NUI Galway. I graduated in 2003. I did a degree in information technology. A lot of it, to be honest, I've completely forgotten. It's gone way over my head. But had we had something like Coder Dojo back in the day to make it stick in the mind, I think doing stuff hands-on is a really great way to do it. And that's, to be honest, with ATEC, a lot of the people that we speak with around the world, Coder Dojo is a company that they keep referring to. And we believe that for us to source the right people in the future, which is vital to our mission, we're going to need to work with people that Coder Dojo to expand our mission.
I'd love to see your textbooks from 2003 to see what you were being taught back then in terms of IT. It must be just a different planet.
It's a completely different planet, Conal, and a lot of it was very theoretical. And nowadays, I think, if this is my personal opinion, is that you can throw people in at the deep end nowadays, and you don't even need a degree to make to work in technology, to learn hands-on, like you can do with people like with Coder Dojo. And that's something that we're very focused on at ATEC, is getting the right people in. We don't really look for a qualification. We look for people who can actually do the job, with they've got the hands-on skills. But going back to my days back in Galway, I learned a huge amount. But a lot of it is really erased from my memory right now. But that might be another business idea, Conal, to try and recall all that information. And the blockchain might be a good way to do that. To make sure that people do not forget with blockchain tech.
Am I talking to 50% of ATEC, or are you larger?
We're larger, Conal. We've got 7 at the moment, and we're expanding the team up to 16 people by the middle of next year. We're currently raising a seed round of in excess of 2.5 million. We've gotten some funding from a lot of big players already. We're IBM's number one global startup. They're a key partner for us. We're partners with Citibank. We won a prize with them as well.
You're very good on the old prizes.
We're very good, and it really helps expand the mission for us. But we want to expand to at least 16 people by the middle of next year. And again, for us to do that, we need the right partners to make that all possible. We're based in Dublin. We've got an office up in the Digital Hub. We've also got a space in London, and we're opening up an office in Washington before the end of the year. And all going well, when we expand in the Middle East, and Expo 2020 is going to be a huge part of that, we are planning on opening up an office with Dubai and in Dubai. And we've gotten some fantastic support from Enterprise Ireland to do that. So shout out to them as well.
Well, they're good guys, all right. We have them on here frequently. And back to Coder Dojo and the business behind that. How do you make your shekels?
So we're a charity. So the Coder Dojo movement is entirely run by volunteers. So those 1,300 odd clubs are run, each of them have a team of volunteers who actually make this happen for the young people.
But somebody must pay for you.
The Coder Dojo Foundation, we are a charity registered here in Ireland. We have a small team of 10 employees and then some interns who join us from various university programs for different periods of time. So we're entirely funded by donations, but 2 months ago we announced that we were merging with the Raspberry Pi Foundation, and they are a UK-based foundation and also a charity. But what's really interesting about them is they own a trading company, and they actually make these $35 computers. So through that merger, there is, we have an element of sustainability, because they know that they are going to be able to, they have a strategic revenue reserve. However, partners, Salesforce, Microsoft are all partners of ours. So we're always looking for new corporate partners to get involved.
It's a lot of people looking for support on our Sunday Business Show today. And if they are looking for you, they will find you where?
CoderDojo.com. CoderDojo.com.
And you have a wonderful name, because it's not Justina, it is Giustina.
Giustina.
Mizzone. Very good. Listen, Giustina, thank you very much for coming in to us. And Niall, thank you very much for joining us on the Sunday Business Show.
The Sunday Business Show
with Gas Networks Ireland. Clean, reliable, and always available 24 hours a day. More at gasnetworks.ie/gasforbusiness.
Today FM.